Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly Lachat.
Yo, it's Leora Baxt
and Orly Lachat in the house.
Unfortunately, our amazing editor, Amy Hittery, is not with us today, but we love you and we miss you, and I hope you're having a great day.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity.
This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms.
And everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just facts about mental health.
Let's talk about it. You feeling scrambled, Leora?
I'm feeling really scrambled. I want to get out of it.
Why are you feeling so scrambled?
Well, I think I'm having a really hard time differentiating between my personal habits and my personal routine, and I don't know what to do about it. So help me.
Well, the first thing we have to do is break down that common misconception that habits and routine are the same thing. The reality is they're not.
Right. So what's a habit then?
A habit is something that takes little or no effort to do, while a routine is a sequence of actions that you regularly follow. You have to push yourself a little more to do that. A habit feels uncomfortable when we don't do it because it's so ingrained into us.
Right. That is an uncomfortable feeling. I mean, let's not get too vulgar, but we are both addicts with nicotine, and it's just this is a negative and toxic habit, but it's something that's so ingrained in us, and it's uncomfortable when it's not around, and that's really unfortunate. So we're going to sit here and try dive into how we can fix that and help us and help everyone else that is listening. But
can you give me an example of a toxic versus healthy type of habit?
I think that for me, in about when COVID started, my siblings moved home, and me and my sister were like, let's just start running. Let's just start running every day. And then that's when I kind of got into the gym and running and being so hyper aware of have I gone to the gym today? Have I gone on that run? Have I this and that? And it didn't even come down to the food aspect. It really came down to if I didn't work out or I didn't go on a run, I felt horrible. And I felt like my day was ruined, and I felt like I couldn't be productive. And that's a complete example of a toxic habit. And I kind of made it a routine. So I transformed it into a routine where it became healthy, where it was it was something that was it was on my schedule every day, but it's something that if I didn't get to it, it wasn't going to ruin my day. And now I'm so much better because of it, because it's okay, it's in my head, it's on my schedule. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't get to it, and that's okay.
You're allowed to skip a leg day. You're allowed to not go to the gym from time to time, and that's exactly when it's healthy, when you can realize.
Yeah, when you can realize that a habit, which is, again, an automatic impulse, it will turn into a healthy routine, and it's not something that you're uncomfortable. You don't feel uncomfortable when it's not happening. And I think that's kind of what our aim is for this episode, just getting into how to transform your unhealthy or regular habits that may be toxic into a healthy routine and what that means for us.
Exactly. Going into the new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year 2024. I want to talk about New Year's resolutions and why they don't pan out the way people plan them, you know? You come up with these crazy resolutions, these really big goals, and they're not so achievable.
Yeah, not to bring God into this, but God's laughing while we're planning.
I think the most important thing to understand when setting a goal is not to come up with something so big and extreme, rather the importance of making small changes or setting little achievable goals that can ultimately lead you to a bigger goal.
I totally agree with that. I think life is honestly, and this is the biggest lesson I learned from my dad, is it's all about small steps, baby steps, baby goals, and
And being in the moment while you're doing
that. Being in the moment while you're doing that. I had a therapy session the other week, and it was all about indulgence and indulging in the moments you have or the hard... When the process is hard, when you're going through a hard step in the process, find that little thing that's really good about it. Like, we will talk about this more later on, but, like, find the joy so that it makes that bad part, that bad step of the journey, a good one, at least.
Exactly.
What you make it. What you make it.
Let's take going to the gym, for example.
Okay.
You should focus on why you're doing that goal now. Today, I'm going to the gym to feel good today so that I feel productive today.
And
you shouldn't think about the long-term effect that may or may not even come out of going to the gym, like losing weight or building muscle. That motivation, if you're only thinking about the bigger picture, is going to disappear so fast.
Yeah, I think like a big conversation or motto I've been seeing lately is discipline over motivation. Because sometimes, yes, what you said, motivation disappears very, very fast. And like when you're just relying on this motivation, oftentimes it's going to let you down. And
yeah.
Then internally, it's you're letting yourself down because you didn't describe these things as like, okay, it's a discipline. It's a blessing that I get to do this and I get to feel good after it. And who cares if tomorrow's not that day for me, but today is that day for me. And I think that's really powerful to think about.
Exactly. It's also like what I said before about setting the smaller goals. It's also about talking to yourself nicely and like realizing that you can achieve the smaller goals. When you're like, I'm going to go to the gym this year, and then you don't go to the gym, you feel like crap about yourself. Rather than if you like say, I'm going to go to the gym once a week and work on this, or just walk on the treadmill, and you do it and you feel so good about yourself. You're setting these small goals that are achievable, and in turn, you feel much better about yourself.
So I'm going to read a quote by James Clear.
He's the author of Atomic Habits.
Great book.
10 out of 10.
He says, outcomes are about what you get. Processes are about what you do. Identity is about what you believe. And I think that with this quote, I believe that you can't make these big changes that we've been talking about so far without fully being independent in your internal self. I think everything is so intertwined. So when you're constantly in a state of disapproval towards yourself, it carries over. It carries over into the habits and the routine that you create for yourself or that you're trying to. And I think that's something everyone should think about.
100%. Like when you're constantly putting yourself down and then you don't achieve something you said you were gonna achieve, you're feeding into that state of disapproval. You're feeding into those expectations that you already set for yourself.
1,000%. And you're letting yourself sit in your sorrow, and you're not making moves, and you're waiting for, like I said before, this motivation to come around. It's not motivation. It's discipline. And whatever that word means to you, great. But it's not about motivation. Okay?
100%.
So what else do you think, like, could be an example of like a small thing to start?
After reading Atomic Habits, I realized that like a bigger goal I wanted for myself is to have my room constantly be neat. And I was like, okay, what's one thing I can do every day that's gonna make me feel better? That was making my bed. I come home, my bed is made, and I feel good. Have you ever heard that quote, like, messy room, messy mind?
Yeah.
I think I'm one of those people that like it really applies to. And I always like wanted my room to be clean, but I never knew how to keep it tidy. And after reading Atomic Habits, I kind of realized it's not about having your entire room like super neat all the time. It's about incorporating like little things, one thing at a time, baby steps, into achieving that in the long term. So I started like making my bed every morning. And I realized that...
How'd that make you feel?
It made me feel so good. It made me feel like I was less stressed during my days because I would know I was coming home to at least my bed being made.
A tidy room.
A tidy room.
Yeah. And I think that like intertwines with like your environment, whether that means your support system or your clean space. And I think that creates a really, really good foundation for habits and routine. And I think the key to building lasting habits is focusing on creating a new identity first. And I think that's a great kind of start off, because it's not something internal. It's so physical, and it's so like, it's actually harder said than done, making your bed every single morning to feel productive and clean. And that's just the first step of your day. If you're taking that step, you can soar, you can fly. And I think that's really awesome. So I think that let's go into this talk about environment and building up your new identity this year. So I have a question for you.
What's up?
So opportunities in life come through people, right?
Yeah.
Who do you need to connect with to gain access to the opportunities you want?
I think something I've been talking about a lot recently is about only focusing on relationships with friends and family that really build me up. People that want me to achieve the best things for myself, whether that's with them or separately. And I think the best relationships are having your own life and doing your own things and building each other up, and at the end of the day, coming together and sharing them.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful, because I think it's really sad when you see a person and they're just so bright and they have so much potential and their support system isn't grounded and finalized. It's not.
They're kind of their light is being dimmed in a way.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, really, really important step in the process of all these healthy habits and routines of having that amazing and supportive support system, being able to soar and just move forward and begin, so to say, your healing process or your trying to get better, quote unquote, process.
I think that kind of comes with also the tough love aspect.
Yeah.
You don't want people that are in your life, in your relationships, that are constantly being no, but that's okay. No, but that's okay. Sometimes you need someone to be snap out of it.
Yeah.
Do the thing. Yeah. You give me tough love all the time.
That's my thing.
And it works. It really works.
Yeah, I think when your support system is just bringing you up in the times that you need it and never bringing you down, but also pointing out the truth, making sure that, because sometimes we're blind to our own mistakes or bad habits or bad routines. And I'm often being called out by my friends in the most positive way, this isn't good for you, or you know that that's not what you should be doing. And I don't take it as an insult. I take it as okay, great. I need to check myself. And I think it's so beautiful to have.
Right.
And that just, I think that really in and of itself for me set me off into the right direction, because I went through so much hell in high school going into my gap year and then moving to Israel. And you know, I didn't really look around to appreciate the support system I had. But once I took a step back, understood what I got, understood what I have, I really began to realize the importance of a good support system. I'm using the word support system a lot, but it's just so true.
Also understanding that your support system, if it's a good one, is going to give you constructive criticism, and that shouldn't make you feel bad, because if that person is going to be telling you things that you don't want to hear in the moment. But after that, it's about realizing, why is this person that loves me so much telling me this? Maybe it's something I really do need to work on.
Yeah. So everyone ask yourself this question. Who do you need to connect with to gain access to the opportunities you want?
Are your relationships where you want them to be in terms of being able to build good habits and routines?
Are they going to lift you up, or are they going to dim you down? Think about it. Another point that James Clear had said, quote, the imperfect project you actually complete is worth more than the perfect project you never finish.
Wow, I really relate to that. Just gonna bring in a simple example. I am the type of person that will start every and any art project, and most of the time I won't finish it. but I started a tote bag about 2 years ago. Finally finished it a couple months ago. And it wasn't good. It wasn't a good tote bag. I'm never going to use it. But the satisfaction I got when I finally finished it was a rush better than any drug. Finally did something that took me so long.
Yeah,
and I completed it.
Yeah, I feel like I sometimes can't really think of an example right now, but like I've definitely had those feelings, remember those feelings of like doing something and not finishing it because I was taking so long on a certain step of the process and like got so discouraged and from trying to make it so perfect. You always hear like, oh, like I'm a perfectionist, and then like they're so upset when like it's bad and then like they don't want to finish it. I got one. My sister, she's an artist, and the amount of paintings we have in our house that are not finished, and they're so good. And I'm like, why haven't you finished any of them? And she's like, because like it's just not good. But I'm like, finish it, because you're gonna feel good after looking at that picture, whether you notice that little mark on the side. But like, it's about the end result and how you got there and how you didn't give up.
Not only that, like following it through and then making little changes after will lead you to that perfectionism if you're looking for that.
Yeah,
you know?
At the end of the day, once you keep like following through, like in sports, they always mention like follow through with your shot, follow through with your kick. So don't stop halfway and then obviously you're going to be disappointed with the outcome. You're not going to get that goal because you stopped your foot halfway into kicking the ball and it went the other way that you wanted it to go. And, or like when you play tennis, like my teacher always told me, bring it all the way around. Even with golf, like you're not going to get a good shot if you don't hit it all the way.
Follow all the way through.
Follow all the way through, whether it's perfect or imperfect. And I think that's really powerful to understand in your entire life, whether that comes to sports or comes to inner healing and inner peace, I think.
100%. I think also with following through, it's about prioritizing things in a way. Like, you can't complete everything on your list all the time.
Yeah, you have to be, quote unquote by James Clear again, you have to be ferocious about cutting your priorities.
It's about making a list and like completing the most important things first, you know?
So like homework.
Like homework, exactly. Every day I sit down and I write in my planner all the things I need to do. And I find that a lot of the times I'll do the easiest stuff first and then I'll take so long on it that I'm burnt out and I don't get to the harder stuff. And that doesn't work for me, you know?
Right.
It's about maybe like doing the hardest stuff first so that on my list, so that the rest of the stuff is a breeze.
Is a breeze.
The rest feels like I'm taking a break.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I think I want to bring in a last quote by James Clear. He said, every pretty good, sort of nice, kind of fun thing you abandon is like shedding a weighted vest that lets you move at top speed. You were so busy focusing on how much you could carry, you never realized you could run this fast.
Damn. Words. Bars. Love it.
Bars, James Clears. That was crazy.
So I think this kind of means that like we create our biggest obstacles and we are somehow our biggest supporters and our worst enemies all at once.
All at once.
It's
a lot of it's internal. Like when you have something that you're constantly telling yourself, it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. I don't want to do it. Stop doing that. Just shift your mindset to noticing one thing you like about that hard thing.
Yeah, you know? like work was hard today, but there was one customer who smiled at me and that brightened your day.
Exactly.
So like finding the, it's so cliche and cringy, but it's like finding the joy in your days that aren't so great. And like taking that walk and realizing, like the other day, I was so not down for work. I was so not down. But I was like, hey, I need a coffee. I need something to eat. I walked next to the bus stop and I went into this little coffee shop. And these two guys, they were smiling and teaching me Hebrew and the coffee and croissant was only 12 shek. I recommend this place. I have to get the name for next time. But it just let me move on with the rest of my day in a better mood. And I don't know there's so much power in it. There's so much power in indulgence when it's the right amount and in the right moments. And I think that's my motto for this year. Like, just indulgence.
Indulge in it. Yeah.
Indulgence. It's just, it's a powerful word, and you can, it can mean whatever you want it to mean.
You know? I have a little story also. Yesterday, I spent hours and hours and hours working on homework, and I felt like I got nothing done. But after that, like, I literally just sat by the beach and I was watching birds, and I was like, whoa, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, birds are great.
Like, this was such a beautiful way to end my workday, and even though I feel like I got nothing done, I got to see something so beautiful today.
Yeah, it's, life's beautiful.
Life's beautiful.
When you indulge in it. So we've discovered that habits are an automatic impulse, and routine is pushing yourself a little extra to create consistency without toxicity. So I think first and foremost, don't be so hard on yourself. I think instead, start going smaller and start achieving like more realistic goals for yourself. And
you're going to see a huge difference within yourself and how you feel.
Huge, huge difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, set your priorities straight. Set yourself up for success in doses.
Baby steps.
It's not about the big, big goals. It's about the little things.
And I think in turn that will lead you to going from the pressure of like good quality performance and responsibilities and a hell of a lot of priorities into automatic thoughts and actions that are healthy and that become routine.
We're not talking about this because we're experts in it. We're talking about it because we're also still learning.
Yeah, we're very much still learning. A question for you guys that you guys can ponder on is, what are some ways you can shift your narrative?
We have, to end off, an egg fact.
Who's excited?
I'm so excited.
Excited.
So? Excited. The date on your egg carton does not indicate its expiration.
No way.
Eggs are usually edible for 3 to 4 weeks after this date. But, like, if you get salmonella, that's not on us.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know what to tell you.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
You still feeling scrambled?
Honestly, no. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready to take all my habits and routines in a healthy and positive way. I'm choosing the sunny side.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaChapelle.
All our shows and podcasts available online on our website and on all podcast platforms. Search Audioversity.